Alrighty, good morning. Coming up on 7:40 here on the Mighty 690, it is time for our weekly chat with folks from K-State Research and Extension's Wildcat District, and we have Adavin with us this morning for the first time thing in the new year. How are you doing, Adavin?
Doing good, yeah. Thanks. How are you?
You're doing well. Good to have you here. So you have some workshops that we've been telling people a little bit about. You want to go over those again? Because I know there's a lot of good education opportunities that we have coming up in the new year.
Yeah, we have a lot of workshops lined up for the next couple months. Two that I wanted to touch on this morning are the Power of Negotiation and Communication. This is a land leasing workshop series that kicks off next Wednesday. It is a 4-week series that will be held on Wednesday evenings from 5:30 to 8:30 p.m. And we are hosting this series in Edna, Cherokee, and Neota Shea. So you can pick whichever location is most convenient for you. There is a $50 registration fee for this workshop, but dinner is provided every night, and there'll be a lot of great information covered in this workshop, whether you're a landowner who leases your pasture or crop ground, or you lease ground from someone. This workshop will cover just a variety of topics, everything from lease agreements to different conservation practices. It will also cover hunting leases as well. That's kind of a new topic that we're starting to get more questions about in this area. And registration closes for this workshop on Friday. So you definitely want to register for it if it's something you would like to attend. And then tomorrow evening is the calving school in Fredonia. This is a great workshop. It's well known across the state. It's where they bring in the plastic replica of a cow show how to pull a calf, deal with those sorts of issues you might encounter during calving season. This will be my first time attending the workshop, so I'm pretty excited. And if you're wanting to attend this workshop, it's free to attend. We just ask that you call our office to register for it to help us get an accurate meal count. Dinner will be provided for that workshop as well. So those are the two workshops I wanted to touch on, but we have a lot more coming up in February and March, and we're starting to get those posted on our website and roll those out on our Facebook page as well. So if you want to look at what we have scheduled ahead, you can visit our website or Facebook page, and that's K-State Extension Wildcat District.
Well, that's awesome, and that is going to be a great event. I know a lot of people are looking forward to that. I think last time I talked to Wendy, she said 50 some odd people were signed up for it. So
yeah, now the last number I heard was 111.
Look at that.
People.
That's
so
awesome.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
It's gonna be a great turnout.
Well, good. It's gonna be a real good one. So yeah, it's gonna be great. Now, has the deadline passed for actually signing up for meals, or are you still taking any more?
I believe we're still taking signups for meals. You just need to call in today.
Because
we usually give those final counts to our creator the day before.
Good deal. Well, that is great. So we do appreciate that. That's going to be a really good event. So, hey, it is kind of that time of year, the winter. People are inside a lot, that sort of thing. And I see, you know, my neighbors are at the RV park. They got their bird feeder. They got it out year round. But you're going to talk some about bird feeders today.
Yeah, because like you said, if you're inside and you still enjoy watching wildlife out your window, or you know, some folks are really into bird watching, having a bird feeder or a few bird feeders in your yard are a great way to attract birds. And you know, this time of year, it's winter. We've had some pretty nice days here lately, but usually the weather is a little bit colder, especially like the weather we had around Christmas was pretty brutal. So having bird feeders out are also a great way to help out the bird population, along with attracting more birds to your yard during this time of year when their food sources are more limited. So the type of birds you attract will depend on the type of feeder you put out. And the feed you put in that feeder, along with where you place the feeder in your yard. And there are several different types of bird feeders. The most common are platform feeders, tube feeders, suet feeders, and hanging feeders. And of course, there's also many different variations and combinations of these style of feeders. And you can put a combination in your yard as well. So if you decide to go with a platform feeder, you might put one more at ground level and then put one higher up. The same with hanging feeders. You can do a high or a low hanging feeder, along with location. So some species of birds prefer them closer to the ground, some prefer them higher up. And also having cover close by the feeder is very important to increase the usage of that feeder. So birds will feel more secure using that feeder in case there's any predators around. They have cover close by. Another way to help out birds during the winter and also encourage them to visit your yard is to provide water for them. So in the winter, sources of open water may be scarce because of those colder temperatures and creeks and ponds freezing over. So a bird bath is a great way to provide them another source of water. And having a bird bath in your yard where it's an easy location for you to maybe walk by as you're leaving for work in the morning and fill it up or break the ice in it. They also make bird bath heaters if you want to get a little fancier. May help attract as many birds as actually the feed in the feeder during this time of year. And of course, locate the bird bath again where it will be convenient to fill. And if you want to go with a bird bath feeder, also put it where it's close to an electrical outlet as well. And it's important that, you know, birds, when they get used to having a feeder in your yard and a source of water, they'll come through to visit that as part of their daily routine. So especially this time of year when feed and water sources are more limited, they'll come to count on your bird bath and your feeder more. So you want to make sure they're filled up at all times, even when we have nicer days like we had yesterday. And it sounds like we're going to have nice weather today as well. And then there's also many different types of food mixes available for the feeders. And if you're trying to attract a specific type of bird, you might look up and see what their preferred type of feed is and put that in one of the bird feeders in your yard. But if you're new to feeding birds, or you just want to attract a variety of birds to be able to watch maybe out your window while you drink coffee in the morning on the weekends, there is just general types of bird feed mixes that you can get. And then of course, birds really like black oil sunflower seeds. That's a favorite for different types of birds. So that's always a good one to get. Or if you're buying a seed mix, make sure there's a lot of sunflower seeds in that mix. And white millet is also preferred by many birds, especially dark-eyed juncos, sparrows, and the red-winged blackbird. And as you become more interested in bird feeding, you may want to use more than one feeder to attract specific species of birds. And then you can put maybe different types of feed in each feeder to help attract those different birds. So those are just a few tips on attracting birds to your yard and setting up bird feeders.
And we will, of course, have some of those birds migrating through. Like you mentioned, the juncos, or I always call them juncos. I don't know.
It's a tricky word to pronounce.
Yeah, I'm sure you're probably right, but I like junco. And I love seeing them in the winter. So in Kansas, you know, we usually, because they're seasonal, right? They migrate through.
Yeah.
And so, you know, we always would put like a suet feeder out for those, and those have, they're kind of the black with the white belly sort of thing is what they look like. And they're just neat little birds.
Yeah, so now is a great time. Like you said, a lot of birds migrate through. So if you get those feeders set up now, you can have them set up throughout the spring as different species of birds continue to migrate through Kansas. And then you can see, hopefully, a lot of different birds come through your backyard.
And, because a lot of these birds are probably, they're coming down from the north just seeking a little bit warmer weather. Because, you know, Kansas, we might not think this is warm right now, but it's compared to, I don't know, where they hang out normally, you know, compared to the northern states, this is going to be warmer.
Yeah, this is still warmer for them.
No, for sure. And the other thing is, I guess, what are squirrels doing this time of year? Because we always think of, you know, squirrels being the arch nemesis of bird feeders sort of thing.
Yes. Squirrels do kind of, you know, store up their food for the winter. You will still see them out and about this time of year. And like you mentioned, squirrels love to visit bird feeders. So depending on the style of bird feeder you have, you may need to deter squirrels from visiting it and cleaning you out of your bird feed. So like the platform feeders, a lot of times you see those mounted on a metal pole. And that is to prevent squirrels from being able to get into it because they have a really hard time climbing up that metal pole. So another thing you can do is if maybe you have it mounted on a wooden post, you can get some aluminum or metal sheeting, just as long as it has that slick surface, and put it around the bottom of that post, and that will deter squirrels from climbing up the post to eat out of the bird feeder. But then if you do have bird feeders hanging in trees, that is one disadvantage, is that the squirrels can visit it often as well.
Sure. Yeah, it's always kind of a balance. And then, of course, some people, they like feeding those squirrels.
Right, exactly. So I know some people enjoy watching the squirrels just as much as the birds, while other people are really passionate about having those feeders for the birds, and they don't like the squirrels visiting them.
And I suppose one of the reasons that we use suet this time of year would be, one, you know, the higher fat content, and two, you're not going to be able to put suet out in the summer. I mean, that's going to be a disaster. So
right,
those are
yeah.
Just melting down.
Yes, exactly. We're in the colder weather, like we tend to have this time of year. That it's kind of a better fit for this time of year than in the summer, like you mentioned.
And I don't know about southeast Kansas. I mean, I know in some areas in south central Kansas, I mean, we have Canadian geese are just taking over urban areas. I haven't seen that as much around here. I don't know what the other thing that I've noticed is the Canadian geese just don't seem to leave anymore in some parts.
Yeah. So I've noticed Canadian geese out around my house coming through this year, and there are definitely some that come in and just seem to kind of hang out and stay all winter. I haven't seen as many of them this year, and I think part of that is because we were in a drought this summer. Pond levels got so low that there's just not as good of a spot for them to come in and visit and hang out this year.
And they're always going to be seeking some sort of body of water. So, I mean, if
right.
you don't have that, you're not going to see them.
And for geese, another attraction this time of year and why they sometimes choose to hang out is the wheat fields, the winter wheat. They like to eat on it as well.
I probably saw just behind my place, there's some winter wheat fields, and I saw, I'm not kidding, probably 25 deer out there. I mean, it's just wild. They're just so many.
Yes.
they're having a field day, of course.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Unfortunately for the farmers.
Yeah, I'm just like, well. Now, the other thing, and we always get to this subject, I think, as we wrap up, armadillos, again.
Yes.
I'm amazed that we had all those really cold temperatures. You know, they go away. And then we had a couple days of warm up, they're right back. So do they just curl up somewhere and they just kind of semi-hibernate? What do they do when it's cold?
Yeah, nope. Those, well, you know, they're known for digging holes. So they dig their tunnels and their dens underground and go down there and hang out when it's cold. And then, you know, we've been having a lot of back and forth weather.
Yep.
So those warmer days, they
on and off.
Yep, come back up and scrounge around for some more food.
And since we've been having those warmer days, I already had, on the first day of the year, I already found my first tick.
Wow. Yeah,
I did. So I was.
That's really early this year.
And I'm just like, we had a couple warm days and then I already found one. I'm just like, that is wild. So just a reminder, you know, I was out hiking at, Elk City Park and everything, but they're out. I mean, they're opportunists. Okay, a couple warm days and they're ready to go.
Yeah, I know. I was noticing that with some spiders around. I thought for sure, you know, wishful thinking that they were all dead for the winter after that really cold weather we had around Christmas. But nope, the bugs are still out and about, especially with the warmer weather.
No, it's a good reminder, especially too if you have, you know, dogs and making sure they're on that flea and tick prevention, because it just seems any time of the year, especially if they spend a lot of time outside, you definitely want to have that.
Yeah, definitely. And also, I know ticks are very attracted to cattle as well. So if we continue to have these warmer days, any cattle owners, that's something to keep in the back of their mind as they come up on, you know, working those cows in the springtime. If we continue to have warmer than normal weather, we might have more of a problem with ticks this year.
Yeah, for sure. Well, David, you want to hit just those dates real quick one more time for people who just tuned in about our workshops coming up?
Yeah, so we have calving school tomorrow night in Fredonia. There's still time to register for that if you call today. And then we have the land leasing series kicking off next Wednesday, and registration for that closes on Friday. So if you want more information about either one of those workshops or to register, you can call 620-331-2690.
Okay, well, very good. Well, we're going to have Jesse Gilmore coming up in the next segment, and he is going to be talking about some soil fertility. So that is going to be a good one. So thank you, David. It's always good to learn so much, and we will be back here in just a few minutes on the Mighty 690.